For our first reading of the Hebrew Bible, let's turn to Psalm 23, hopefully very familiar to you. And it is found on page 754, forgive me, in the United Methodist Hymnal. I know you could recite it by yourself, but we are going to do it back and forth a little bit. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my life, leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Amen. Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, can be found in your pew Bible in the Hebrew Bible on page 248. Hear these words. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him here, for we will not sit down until he comes." He sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day onward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. It can be found on page 183 in your New Testament Pew Bible. Hear these words. "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us now turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. It seems as though the Lenten lectionary has lots of long stories, so bear with me. It's a good one, though. It's well worth your time. Page 96 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, clearly there's an awful lot to think about and pray about when you consider these several scripture passages. But let us together this morning consider blindness and think about light and about how these things can inform our Lenten journey with Jesus. As I was pondering these passages this week, an experience, a story from my past came to mind. So let me share it with you. When I was serving Faith United Methodist Church in Alexandria, Virginia, when I was back going to seminary, I got a phone call one day from a couple who had used to attend that church, but now they had moved out of the area. They asked me if I would go and visit a very dear friend of theirs, an elderly woman who lived in an assisted living facility across town. Sally was 93 years old, this couple explained. She had no living relatives and only barely enough money to afford the cost of her facility. There was a volunteer caretaker who came to see Sally once a week when she could, but beyond that, Sally had no visitors at all. "One more thing," this couple told me, "Sally is blind." Well, one day I drove across town to this run-down assisted living facility. I went to the front desk and I asked for directions to Sally's room. I came around the corner and as I looked into the room, I saw a frail and tiny woman sitting on her bed. Sally's eyes were closed, but she had a peaceful look on her face and a faint smile on her lips. I introduced myself, explaining that I was a United Methodist pastor and that her friends had called me and asked that I might be able to come and visit her, and so here I was. Over the course of that first visit, Sally asked that we pray together. At her request, I sat in a chair next to her bed, and I took her tiny hands in mine, and we prayed. When I was finished and we had said our amens, Sally smiled broadly, and she said, "I can see that you are a good man." And so for the better part of 2 years before we left to move back to Colorado, I'd try to visit Sally at least every 2 weeks. When I asked her if I could bring her anything, she explained to me that she took real delight in eating French fries from Wendy's. So every time I would come for a visit, I would stop by Wendy's, go through the drive-thru, and buy a large order of fries to bring to Sally in the paper bag. Well, she would sit in her chair or in a bed, and I'd sit next to her. She'd munch on her fries and listen to me talk about our church and about my family, about my background as a park ranger. And then she would tell me stories about her family and about her life growing up in a small town in the South and about her faith in Jesus Christ. We became good friends, and I always look forward to my visits with French fries. Sally had an amazing and vibrant faith in her Lord and Savior, and I learned a lot from her. She was blind and had no sight, but she had an amazing spiritual vision. This morning, I want you to consider the several potential lessons that we might learn from these wonderful Bible stories. I want you to think about blindness and seeing. Think about darkness and light. Think about sight and vision and the difference between them. Samuel understood that he was sent to help God select and anoint the next king from among the many sons of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Did you notice that God sent Samuel to Bethlehem to find the next king who would serve God and rule over God's people? I don't think it was coincidence. And Samuel thought that he had a clear vision of what to look for in a new king. Well, Samuel looked at Eliab and was sure he was looking at king material. Not so, said God. How about Abinadab? He'd make a good-looking king. Nope. Well, how about Shammah? No. 7 times Jesse paraded one of his sons in front of Samuel. 7 times Samuel was hopeful and believed that he was seeing the next king. And 7 times God rejected what looked like perfectly good candidates for king. One son was left, the youngest one, David, who was out in the field because he was a shepherd. Well, David had 2 strikes against him from the get-go. One, he was the youngest and last to inherit any land or fortune. And he was also a shepherd. And that made him one of the lowliest and least desirable jobs that he could ever have had. Now, he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Go figure. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected all these others. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." These 6 weeks of Lent is a time when we are instructed to look deeply within ourselves, to try to see our own mortality, to try to look into our own humanity. Just as Jesus looked deeply into the heart of the Samaritan woman at the well from last week's reading, and into the heart of the man born blind in this week's gospel lesson. At the end of that reading about the blind man who regains his sight through Jesus' compassion, we come to another of those lessons from Jesus that ought to give us pause. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some Pharisees standing nearby overheard him, and they said to Jesus, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." I often wonder, as perhaps you do as well, how is it that I am supposed to follow this Jesus? Well, you get a good piece of advice in the words of Paul to the Ephesians that Mark read. "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord." This is easier said than done, perhaps, but certainly this is where you ought to be looking. Try to figure out what is pleasing to the Lord. Well, this morning, I have almost certainly offered you many more questions than answers. But that seems entirely appropriate for given the fact that we're walking together on this Lenten journey with Jesus. Think about spiritual blindness and light. And let me leave you with several more questions to ponder. What do you see What do you truly see when you look at another person? What do other people see when they look at your outward appearance? When you look into the shadows of your soul, what is it that you see? And finally, and most importantly, what does God see when God looks on your heart? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." My sisters and brothers, I pray that God will heal our blindness and let us truly see the light. Amen.